together. Drive that funky soul. Get up, get yourself together, and drive your funky soul. They're doing it down in that soul. Drive that funky soul. They're doing it by the beach. Driving that funky soul. New York, get yourself together and drive your funky soul. Let your body pop and let your feeling fold. Raise up, get yourself together and drive that funky soul. When I say Sagittarius, drive that funky soul. When I say Pisces, holler and drive your funky soul. When I say Gemini, drive that funky soul. When I say Capricorn, hell, drive your funky soul. When I say Scorpio, Virgo, drive your funky soul. If I say Cancer, can you drive that funky soul? Raise up, get yourself together, and drive your funky soul. Slaughter, get on up, get yourself together, drive that funky soul. Leo, get yourself together, and drive your funky soul. Aquarius, get yourself together, and drive that funky soul. Get yourself together, and drive that funky soul. Get up, get yourself together, and drive that funky soul. Red, get yourself together, and drive that funky soul. Diamond, diamond, I need some money. Do you need some money?
Good afternoon, Little Rock, Arkansas. Good
afternoon.
This is Jade Stone Vintage Soul here on KABF 88.3 FM, the voice of the people. Mm-hmm. We are here each and every Tuesday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. bringing you the finest in rare soul, rare neo-soul, rare hip-hop. Rare jazz.
Is there such a thing as a rare neo soul? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, when you have neo soul that is made in Europe or on the continent of Africa, that's not played in on the radio stations here, mm-hmm. then it's rare to us.
Gotcha. All right.
Now today's show. What we're going to do with today's show is we are going to talk about a journey Abdul Bey found. Oh, you want it?
He wants to, say hi.
Hello.
The Jazzy Leo.
The Jazzy Leo. Lauren, go ahead and say
hi.
Hi.
Oh, okay, he's been a whimpery cub.
Yeah, Lauren the Jazzy Leo is our creative consultant, our director. Our boss.
Our life coach.
Our life coach. And he's wishy-washy sometimes, usually between the hours of 2 and 3 on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
But the Abdul Bey family took a journey this week, this past week rather, to Montgomery, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And that journey was initiated by Ia, that wonderful voice you hear on the other mic over there.
Thanks.
Yes, looking out.
Okay, continue.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
little sidetrack.
Focus. But I first learned about what the object of our journey through Oprah Winfrey doing.
Oprah?
Harpo spelled backwards.
Oprah.
did a story on 60 Minutes. She was a commentator on 60 Minutes, and she did a story on this particular place that we went to visit in Montgomery. And when I saw the story and I got a chance to see her interview the gentleman whose brainchild this this institution was, I was thoroughly impressed.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Ia came up, I think it was about a month ago, you while we're laying in bed, you said, "Hey, we have to go to the National Peace and Justice Memorial."
Mm-hmm. And Brian Stevenson is the attorney that you're speaking of.
Brian
Stevenson.
He's
more than that, but attorney Brian Stevenson.
Yes.
Is the founder.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, "We must go to this." And I said, as I always do, as a dutiful husband, "Yes, ma'am. Let's do it." I just have to figure out some time in my schedule to do it. And it just so happens that Dreamer had scheduled herself to go to Birmingham.
Yeah, she did.
For the month of June. So I said, "Hey, while we on the way to drop her off, let's just stop at this institution, the National Peace and Justice Memorial, and it's called the Legacy Museum."
Yes, and okay. Its focus is on from slavery to
mass incarceration.
And the founding nonprofit is EJI, and that's the Equal Justice Initiative. Again, founded by Brian Stevenson. So, were you finished with your... Okay. So we traveled to the museum, and we're always trying to do some type of... Especially with our children.
Edutaining adventures.
Of some kind. Especially when it comes to educating them about their ancestral past and present. And possibly what could be the future if things don't change, in my mind. So we went to the memorial, and that was the National Memorial for Peace and Justice. We went to the memorial first, and it the focus was on, they had a lynching. They have, and I'm sure most of you know, they have a lynching memorial. Mm-hmm. A memorial to those who were lynched in America. And it was pretty much covered most of the southern states. There were some northern states included in that also. But most of the concentration were in our southern states. Some of the things that we found out in going... There were over 4,000 plus.
About 4,400, I believe. That was the number.
Of African American people, people of color.
Melanated. The term we use on this.
Whatever you'd like to use. People who were lynched in America, all over the country. And what
of,
was so
of which we're able to have. Documentation.
Right. So the way they did this was through research, of course, and they found the thing was to find two forms of identification of those who were lynched. There were two forms of documentation of the event of those who were lynched, and that's how they came up with the numbers there. These are all documented. This is not mentioning undocumented lynchings. So from what they have on document, as far as documentation, there's 4,400 people all over the country. What was pretty not surprising, because we come from part of what people call the Dirty South. What was kind of surprising for us was the large amount of people who were lynched in the state of Arkansas. Inside of the Legacy Museum, Slavery to Mass Incarceration, the way it's set up, it is set up in a timeline from slavery to mass incarceration all the way around in the museum. In the center, there is a data built in, and it's partnered with, is that Google it was partnered with?
Well, my understanding is that the Equal Justice Initiative won a grant from Google.
So this data collection thing and interactive that anybody can go on, and you go on and you click, you see a map of the U.S. and the red areas were those states that the lynchings occurred, the documented lynchings again occurred. You pick the state by, you know, touching it. You touch the state, it will show you the number of people. And when we went there and we, you know, looked up Arkansas, of course, there were 492 documented lynchings in the state of Arkansas. And we just...
And it was the third highest state.
It was the third highest.
Behind Mississippi and Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Florida actually had a large concentration, yeah, too. But Louisiana had about 500 plus.
Mm-hmm. I would have thought Texas would have been one of the highest, but it wasn't.
Arkansas was actually beat Texas, but about 100 more people. So... I will say this, and we'll be talking more about some of it that we experienced when we were there. Mm-hmm. But the one thing we do here on our show is we try to let the music speak for how we are, what our experiences are.
And boy, do we have some music today.
And so we put together a compilation of music that will definitely speak to the way we felt, the way things were, and the way things still are progressing. You're listening to J Stone Vincent Soul here on KBF 88.3, The Voice of the People. Take a listen.
Amazed but not amused by all the things you say that you do. smell out. crows to fly, but the rain together for the wind to sail, for the sun to rise.
Is that not a beautiful rendition of that song? The song was Strange Fruit, and this is the Andra Day, her rendition of it.
First performed by Billie Holiday.
And then performed by
Nina Simone.
Nina Simone performed it once before, and
other people cover it. Or have covered it.
But this particular rendition is the theme song for the National Memorial for Peace and Justice.
Yes.
And one thing that truly capsulized my experience there was the fact that the word terror and terrorism was used throughout both of these.
Well, you know, the attorney Brian
Stevenson,
and I was telling you about the founder of EJI and also this memorial in the museum. One thing, when you listen to, and I hope that you do, him speak, he actually has a TED Talk, and he's talking about how when he's faced with elder generations and he speaks on this, that they tell him to tell them that this is not the first time since 9/11 that terror or terrorism was experienced in the United States. And that's been used often in the rhetoric of some even politicians and other people. But that terror and terrorism has been going on for centuries for people
of
color.
Since the beginning of the founding of this nation that we call the United States of America.
Right. So that, again, was Andra Day. And we're not going to do the music history today so much as far as the artists are concerned. Our focus today is talking about our experience at the National Memorial for Peace and Justice and the museum, Legacy Museum. You got anything you were going to say?
Well,
something
about? I just wanted to say, you know, when you say our experience, my own personal experience is I was overwhelmed.
Oh, yeah.
I was overwhelmed. Not overwhelmed in a bad way, but overwhelmed from the standpoint of, you know, it was a whole bunch of truth being thrown out. And it felt like a vindication. Like, wait a minute. Somebody's actually, you know, speaking truth and justice in a way that all the ears in this nation need to hear and all the eyes in this nation need to see.
Mm-hmm. And it's not about, and he says this, and it's definitely something that it's not about making people, angering people, or making people feel some type of guilt. If you feel that, it's not about that. It's about truth and reconciliation. It's about knowing truth, us not being afraid of truth, but you know, in this country, not being afraid of the dark moments, the moments of terror and terrorism, and not being afraid of talking about those things. And it's the talking about those things that I'm saying, not being afraid to have a discussion.
Yes.
And once you have the truth and you have the discussion and that information is brought out, then and only then can reconciliation happen.
Yes.
And that's what they are trying to say as far as the Equal Justice Initiative with the museums and everything. And that's what I know that I believe in, is having that truth. Because, of course, if we don't confront that truth, then, you know, we are worse off than we were, not understanding and accepting history, but then making things better when you know it. We're going to keep going with the music that made us, that we felt was fitting to how we experienced this entire memorial and museum.
We're going to go ahead and go to our second of three halves.
Oh, yeah.
And the song that I picked for Prince today is his song Controversy.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I picked it is because I learned the backstory on why he wrote the story, right? Mm-hmm. Why he wrote this song.
Mm-hmm.
And the song was when he was a teenager and he first came out with his first album, he was asked by the Rolling Stones to open for them.
Mm-hmm.
So he agreed to tour with the Rolling Stones and open for them. And during the first city that he was at, he and his band went out on stage to start performing, and he looked at a sea of tens of thousands of Caucasian people who were there to see the Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about how cups and bottles were thrown at him, and people were yelling, "Nigger, get off the stage." And, you know, and it made him feel so bad that he actually left the stage, went straight to the airport, and went back home. Because that's the first time he had experienced being treated like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Mick Jagger called him at home and asked him, he said, "Hey, you know, I apologize. Please come back to the tour. It won't happen again." He came back to the tour and he went to the second and third city, and that happened again.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just dropped out of the tour.
Mm-hmm.
And about 4 months later, he came out with this song, Controversy. And then I started listening to the lyrics after I heard that story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow. I was very, very honored to hear what the song was about. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and go to, we're going to go ahead.
Lauren, the jazzy one.
I'll be with you in a second, son.
All right, you listen to J-Stone Venture Soul here on KBF 88.3. This is Prince, Controversy, Warner Brothers, 1981.
Straight, okay. And I was Harry Houdini, the great escapist. But wait, it's more, check it out, the plot thickens. Shorty started telling more tales than Charles Dickens. She said I kidnapped her, trapped her, slapped her. Then after I tapped her, I fled through the past. And nah, well me, cuz, knew I'd get acquitted. But seen every white face in town, knew I did it, or done it. Shit about 100, approaching white figures, bearing triggers, screaming, kill that nigga. I'm getting nervous, just a little concerned. Cause in the south where I'm from, niggas will get burned. Cause them whiteys on some next shit, so hang you by your next shit. Oh well, I'm in jail, man, I figure I'm protected. Not to trust the police, them cops ain't even yell freeze. They just gave the mob the keys. They beat me like I stole something, pistol whip me like a stick up. Tie my hands behind my back, tie my feet to the bumper of a pickup truck. Now I'm getting shuck like corn, being drugged through the town, face down to the gravel. My clothes and skin unravel, I guess I'm guilty. The lynch mob dropped the gavel. They took me to a tree, hung me naked by my wrists. When I beg and I plead, I can't take it like this. They shoved a pole in my mouth. Cause you see down south, lynching was a show, everybody came out. See the mothers brought their daughters to come and check the slaughters, and fathers brought their son to see how it was done. They brung everyone from the old to the young, cause it really wasn't nothing to see a nigga get hung. Word.
Southern trees, they're strange fruit.
Water of the Mississippi for my slaughter. The order in this court was plantation mutilation. I felt the cool sensation of a knife point slicing through the joint of each toe, each finger, each thumbing. They said that's for touching on a white woman. My screams and tears brought more celebration and cheers than 12 o'clock on New Year's. A girl couldn't see someone raised a higher so she could watch the breaking out my teeth with the wire plier. My one desire was to meet my messiah, but they wouldn't let me die, saying, nigga, we gon' fry it in the fire. I prayed the death was moving near. That's when they castrated me and kept my nuts and souvenirs. Gasoline cleaned my wounds like liquor. Saw the match flicker, begged them do it quicker. Ah, yes,
the smell of burning flesh. 100 angry bullets penetrate my chest. Sweet death long awaited. I hang as a monument, a warning simply stated for people that they hated. But nowadays, the tables turn like a wrench. Cause white folks no longer have a reason to lynch. Cause when it comes down to it, there's no need to pursue it when you got a million niggas around the country that are doing things.
Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Look how I'm living now. Police be tripping now. Yeah, this is America. Guns in my area. I got the strap. I gotta carry 'em. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go into this. Yeah, yeah, this is gorilla. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go get the bag. Yeah, yeah, or I'ma get the patch. Yeah, yeah, I'm so cold like, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm so dull like, yeah. Woo. We gon' blow like, yeah. Girl. Slipping up, look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Don't catch you slipping up. Look what I'm whipping up. Look how I'm geeking up. I'm so fitted. I'm on Gucci. I'm so pretty.
Yeah,
I'm on get it. Watch me move. This is Sally. That's a tool.
Yeah,
on my Kodak.
Black.
Know that.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
100 bands. Contraband. I got the plug on a hawker.
Whoa.
They're gonna find you like fuck a block.
All right, we are back. This is Jade Stone Vintage Soul here on KABF 88.3 FM, the voice of the people. We're talking about our journey last week to Montgomery, Alabama, mm-hmm. to go to the National Memorial for Peace and Justice and to the Legacy Museum. Mm-hmm. Both of them are brain children of attorney Brian Stevenson, who, after watching about 3 or 4 interviews with this gentleman, Brian, thank you, man.
Yes,
I mean, you are such a powerful voice.
Powerful
In the fabric of America, and I thank you.
Mm-hmm. We thank you.
We thank you for everything that you've done, everything that you're going to do. Mm-hmm. Your words are so meaningful and so thoughtful.
Yes.
And your work, your legacy.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Is something that I was very, very, very appreciative of the fact that when we were in both of these institutions, mm-hmm. that there were people from all over the United States, and there were several people from different countries that were there. So
yeah, it was interesting. For those of you who, I was, you know, in studying and looking at Equal Justice Initiative, it was founded in 1994 in Montgomery, Alabama. Did you know that Alabama is the only state that does not provide legal assistance for death row inmates or prisoners?
I learned that this past week.
Yeah, so it was basically the EJI was committed to representing them because they did not have that representation. And then around about 1995, he started representing young prisoner, like young children who, and you know, children are now prosecuted at the age of 13 as adults. And he started representing, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's sad. As adults, and he started representing them because they were prosecuted as adults and given life imprisonment. So his big thing also is to represent children who are prosecuted as adults. So again, we are grateful for EJI and everything that they do. And, and are doing for people, not only in Montgomery, but all over the world.
I talked about how I encapsulated my experience in one word. I know you were our documentarian as far as taking video and taking photographs whenever we go anyplace.
Right.
And you were doing that while we were there.
Mm-hmm.
As you were looking through the camera lens, what were you seeing?
Let me say this before I say, before I respond. It's just not to represent those who are on death row, but they're representing those who are wrongly accused.
Oh, yes.
On death row. Let me be clear about that.
Like the Innocence Project in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the statistics are 1 out of 9 people who are convicted of and are sentenced to death row.
1 in 9.
1 in 9 are innocent. And he actually had, and I have to look up this gentleman. He was, one experience we had was there are booths there, and you pick up the receiver like you're in the prison system.
Man.
And right, these videos are of people who are actually in prison, and they are telling their stories.
Yes.
And they are dressed out in their prison uniforms and everything. And they're men and women and also juveniles telling their stories, or children who have been convicted as adults, telling their stories to you while you're on the other end, like you would if you had a family member or someone in prison. And I thought that was a very powerful connection and a very powerful thing to present and have people to be a part of, because you get to it becomes very real at that moment, and then they hang up and you hang up your receiver. But one gentleman, and again I'll get his name, was convicted in he was from Alabama, I believe, and I'll get that correction for you. But he was convicted, and he was sentenced to 30 years life imprisonment. Actually, he was sentenced to death row first. But then they...
You talk about the one that was clocked in at work?
No, let me back up. That's another gentleman. This one was not death row. He was actually 30 years. And then he was then exonerated. And Brian was his lawyer, Attorney Stevenson was his lawyer, and got him exonerated after that. But there is another young man who was sentenced at the age of, he was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sentenced to death row. And because they couldn't, they stopped executing those. And he had a mental condition. He was intellectually challenged. And mm-hmm. so they had a ruling not to kill, and I'll use the word, those who were intellectually challenged. And so they put him in life in prison, and then he was also exonerated not too long ago. Mm. Is this right? So I'll get some of that information and get you that, but definitely need you to do, you out there listening, your own research on these things. And
yeah, I'm just flabbergasted by the fact mm-hmm. that a gentleman is at work, clocked in, his employer testifies that he was at work, and he's still found guilty for a crime that he did not commit. Is that not?
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where you have lazy, and for me, it is. It's not wanting to investigate and do the job that needs to be done to find the correct or the right criminal and the right person who actually did the crime. Instead, let's just ride down the block and pick someone, you know. Pick him, and
but that's the legacy. If when you start reading the stories of these lynchings, several times you come across somebody that, hey, something happened, mm-hmm. and they were the first ones the mob saw.
Well, the thing is, so we have this culture of...
Yes, say that again.
We have this culture...
Yes, we do.
Of enforcing, of not, let's just call it what it is. A lot of it's law enforcement, so-called. And it's, let's find the one who did it. And then back in those, in the times of up until 1950, I believe, lynchings were happening. When someone was lynched in the town, it was not...
It's up into the 1970s.
I read somewhere it was the 50s, but yeah, probably said. I'm sure. It was not the Klan all the time that were leading the lynchings, is what people are not understanding. It was, and what we found out, it was common citizens of those towns who would bring not just... It was men, women, and children of those towns, and men and women, whole families who would bring, have their children there. They would have like carnival food and different things like that, and it became a spectacle and almost like a fair of some sort that we're going
to fair,
right? It was like county fair. Some of them were. That this is something that, is made to be the norm. And I think we all felt some level of that was major disgust, of course. And then we all felt sick at one point, because it was just to be able to read on the walls in the museum, memorial, the reasons for a lot of these lynchings were utterly ridiculous and never ever should happen. I don't care what the reason is, but things like there was a man who, black man, of course, who was it the sheriff, I believe, or it was somebody, one of his neighbors or someone. And it was a white neighbor, killed his cow. He had
a
cow.
He sued him.
He sued him in court. And because he sued him, he was lynched.
Or about the woman whose husband had been lynched, and she was overheard complaining that her husband was lynched.
Right.
They lynched her.
She was overheard that her husband was lynched. There were multiple. And again, I want you to have your own experience. I know you're like, oh no, I need to stay away from that. But again, truth and reconciliation. We have to face the truth and the facts before we can heal and reconcile these horrible things that have happened in our history. So you can't run from that all your life. Those things are very present. And you see them, or you choose not to see them. There's only one or two ways of looking at that. But if you choose not to see them, they still are going on.
Yeah. And one thing that just yesterday, no, not yesterday, Sunday, this weekend, NPR was broadcasting from the museum.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a chance to interview Attorney Stevenson. Mm-hmm. And he says something in all of his interviews that I want to talk about when we come back from the next break.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You're listening to Jade Stone Vintage Soul here on KABF 88.3 FM, the voice of the people. We're going to go to our last break of the show. Praying Man featuring B.B. King by Big Crit, who is a brother from Mississippi who... was inspired by what we're talking about to write a song and got B.B. King to do the song with him. It's a true story. Listen.
Yes, I was on the road, didn't know which way to go. I think I hear a praying man coming, a praying man coming. Sometimes I couldn't read the signs.
emerged from the grass, stopped at me and asked why so sad. Perhaps because they had taken what I had. I'm sure it wasn't much to them, but it was all that I could grab. I was on my way to church, I was running late at first. But after all this riffraff here, I'm in service and it hurts. But what's worse, I'm not sure how long I've been swaying in the breeze. Tired of talking to the trees, and you the first praying man I've seen. I feed you in the hand, but let's see if you got some time. I'm glad you looked up, because most people pay no mind. He smiled and said, son, well, I can do you one better. He removed a pocket knife and cut me down from my oppression forever.
Guess I was on the road, didn't know which way to go. I think I hear a praying man coming. A praying man coming. Sometimes I couldn't read the signs. My people done left me behind. Think I hear a praying man coming.
Boating along the sea, he emerged from the mist. Asked me how I got far from the beach, cause they stripped me of my pride and put these shackles on my feet. I was stacked on top of my folk and it was really hard to breathe. It was a little hard to believe that I've been caught up in this mess, that some of my own people would sell me to my death. It was a lot of us on the ride and it was a lot of us that was lost, but some of us couldn't take it, so some of us jumped off. And I'm really glad you found me on your course. I've been out here for a while and there's no sign of the shore. He smiled and said, son, well, I can do you one better. He lended me his hand and picked me up from my oppression forever.
Guess I was on the road, didn't know which way to go. I think I hear a praying man coming. A praying man coming. Sometimes I couldn't read the sign. My people done left me behind. Think I hear a praying man coming.
Along the road, he asked me what I was running from and where I was trying to go. Well, I was working in the field and one of my kinfolk just got killed, and I knew they'd come for me. And Lord knows I want to live. See, I heard this people free, not that far, but far for me to be running from these dogs with no shoes up on my feet. I heard of this railroad that ventures underground and takes my kind of people to a place that we can't be found. And I've been wounded for some miles, so I decided to risk my head. I guess they let me go because they assumed that I was dead. He smiled and said, son, hop in this wagon and get settled. He offered me a ride and drove me far from my oppressor.
Guess I was on the road, didn't know which way to go. I think I hear a praying man coming. A praying man coming. Sometimes I couldn't.
That is Big Crit, Praying Man, featuring B.B. King. Again, Big Crit is from Mississippi, so he was dedicating a song to that experience.
An actual story of someone who was lynched on their way to
right, and it was
going
released,
to church.
Released in 2012, Live from the Underground is the name of the album, and it was Def Jam, of course, the label. If you're just now tuning in, we are about to
Wrap it up
and get out of here. But we were talking and are still kind of, and this is a conversation that will probably never go away for us. But we definitely had an experience of going to the museum of National Museum of Peace and Justice. And this history is not anything new for us, and I was speaking to one of the curators that were there. There were many curators walking around the museum, the Legacy Museum, and also the memorial, and basically pulled him over and asked him what is his daily process when he comes to work. Because I was very interested in that. And he said, you know, I was affected by things the first week or so. The first day we were all kind of very silent and nothing was really said. But now I just process this information as what it is. It's history. It's information. And now I can reconcile it. And that's what we're talking about, is there will be emotions from this, and there needs to be. If you don't, then I don't understand how you can be a human being. But you need to be able to, we need to be able to experience the emotion, get past the emotion. We'll always have it. But then what do we do from there? And, you know, what can you do? There are a lot of things that you can do. You can, first of all, visit Montgomery, Alabama, if you can. If you can't do that, go to the Equal Justice Initiative. Go online and you can Google that and you can look at what they do. You can look at how you can become involved. You will see information about the National Museum of Equal Justice, Peace and Justice, and then you will also see the information about the Legacy Museum. So those are a lot of ways. And on that page, you will also see information, videos, and all kinds of, informationals about how you can help. And also, the activism around this. So that's how you can become involved. There are a lot of around the city and around the country people who are coming to grips with the lynchings that happen in their cities and in their towns, are having these monuments erected in their cities and having the town come out and just come to some reconciliation about it so that they can then have peace and healing. Indeed, so, and indeed, that's very indeed. Important. I think that's important for many people
One thing that we agreed upon is action steps we would do as a family and as individuals.
Oh, yeah.
After we have made this visit, and we definitely will keep our listeners abreast. Mm-hmm. But one option that the museum provides is every single one of the sculptures mm-hmm. that was at the memorial, mm-hmm. they made duplicates that can be taken back to the state and mm-hmm. to the county mm-hmm. that the sculpture represents to be placed as a public memorial, mm-hmm. a public memorial.
Right.
And we definitely want to talk about that, because I'd love for us to get Attorney Stevenson on here as a guest.
Yeah, let's try to do it.
And let's talk about that. And I want to put together a letter mm-hmm. to the legislators here in Arkansas mm-hmm. and to the elected officials here in Arkansas in Pulaski County and in the city of Little Rock, starting to garner up support because we need to bring those, since they made these duplicates for Arkansas, mm-hmm. we need to bring them home and then put the monuments up. We have a monument for the Ten Commandments at the state capitol. One mm-hmm. of those commandments is thou shalt not kill.
Oh yeah.
It would be perfectly fitting to have this monument near it so mm-hmm. that we can say, okay, thou shalt not kill.
Right. And here's why.
And here's why.
Here's and again, truth and reconciliation has to happen before healing even happens. And so we need to do those things. And we need to be truthful about our history so that we can heal as a community, as a nation. Thank you for listening. We are here every Tuesday. J-Stone Venture Soul, thank you for listening to us every Tuesday from 2 to 3. On KBF 88.3, we'll be listening to the Blues Hour next. Be kind. Find your Sesame Street wherever that is. Peace, y'all.